They're supposed to be free. That was the one. That was the one. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the... Oh my gosh, Glenn, what are we at?
The return.
Is it the return?
It's the return. We're back.
Are the boys back?
We're back.
The boys are back in the shop.
Maybe committed, maybe not. Kind of like me in the gym, maybe.
Man, listen, we are back. And man, what an NFL free agency we have to talk about here tonight. The boys are back, though. And man, it's been a while. It's been like a year and a half, right?
It's been a while. It's been since last soccer season, I believe.
It's been a while, but the boys are back in town. And let me tell you, we have a big show for you guys today. A lot to talk about.
We are going to try to keep it under 50 minutes this time. We're starting off with Saquon and his betrayal of the Giants going to the Philadelphia Eagles. I have something for that. I have changed my mind about this on 5 times, but we'll get into that. We'll dive then right into what the Giants have done on free agency, what the Eagles have done on free agency, more NFL news about what other notable free agents have left teams, because there was a big, big, big day one. Kind of felt like a Madden franchise, fantasy draft, just everyone going everywhere. And then we're going to give you where we think big prospects are going to go in the draft, what the top teams might do. But as you know, it's a Giants and Eagles fan doing a podcast, so we're going to focus on the Giants and Eagles. And if you don't like that, then, well, you can just stop listening.
We're going to be a little biased.
Actually, wait, don't stop listening. We need the listens. Yeah. Okay. So first off, Saquon Barkley. And I wrote this the night – Jake doesn't know this. I wrote this the night that Saquon was going to leave. It was a Sunday night. It was a week ago. I wrote it out, kind of like shower thoughts, stuff like that, about how I was feeling that he was leaving. And I had to revise it based on what team he was going with. So here it is. I hope you enjoy it. They call me William Shakespeare. A soliloquy to Saquon. I'll never forget the night that we drafted you. I thought we picked the next LT, LaDainian Tomlinson. In fact, we didn't. We picked Saquon, and he was ours. I'll never forget that first rushing touchdown against Jacksonville in the downpour, or that the Redskins touchdown from our own half. In your rookie season, where so much went wrong, you were right. Us Giants fans were proud to call you ours. Heartbreak happened, though, in week two of your sophomore season in Chicago. A moment you wish you could take back, I'm sure, but that injury made you stronger, more of a complete player. Through your 6 years with us, you were the face of our franchise in some of their darkest moments. You showed what it meant to be a Giant and to play Giants football. You were the first player I truly loved in the NFL. And while the Giants organization failed you as a whole, I hope there were some bright spots. We saw a future after the wildcard win in Minnesota, only to take another step back. You signed with our hated rivals, but being so close to home and the money you got, I can see why I had to be there. I wish nothing but success to you, but not to the birds. Not to the birds. I hope you know, Quan, that wherever you go, you have the Giants faithful with you. And as for me, you'll never hear a bad word out of my mouth about you. And while I understand that you need to win and make money, and the Giants are yet going through another rebuild, it doesn't make it hurt any less. Once a Giant, always a Giant. I love you, Saquon.
Man,
I take that all back now.
That was beautiful.
I take it all back.
Oh, you take it
back? I take it all back. What he said in his opening press conference is despicable. It is despicable what he did in his opening press conference. He said he was on the worst side of the rivalry for the past 6 years. You don't go out and say that. And the fact that it took you 3 days. Oh, it was just a crazy 3 days for me and my family. I saw Justin Fields. And let me tell you something, Saquon, because I know you're listening right now, big guy. The Bears organization treated Justin Fields way worse than the Giants organization treated you. They crapped on Justin Fields. And you know what he did the first 15 minutes after being traded? He said, I got nothing but respect for the Bears organization. Thank you for taking a chance on me. And to the Bears faithful, I love you. It took Saquon 3 days to do that. And it took him 10 minutes to tweet out two Eagles on his Twitter. Have them. And I hope you know, Saquon, that when you're coming down the offensive line, you got three big boys ready for you in Kayvon, Brian Burns, and Dexter Lawrence. And if you manage to make it to the second level, have fun with Okereke. Have fun with him. Second in the league in tackles last year. Have fun with him. Gosh, this is so good for the NFL. Can I tell you how good this is for the NFL? This is so good for the NFL. One of the best rivalries in all football is going to be at its peak now for the next 3 years. They're going to hate each other. They're going to despise each other. And the Eagles might view the Giants as little brother, and that's probably true. And the Eagles will probably win every meeting but one or two because they're in two completely different spots right now. But, man, it's going to be a jungle at MetLife. It is going to be something else for those three games. If he even plays. If he even plays. That's my rant right there.
So I immediately texted Blanda right after the trade. And I texted Blanda's dad, which we know Blanda's dad's listening, the GOAT. And, you know, Blanda called me, you know, five 10 minutes after the text. Blanda's probably already heard a bunch of crap from we have a lot of Eagles fans in our area. You know, I was a little concerned because Blanda was a little pissed at me. Because, you know, I sent him a little text. I was like, Saquon's ours. Man, am I hype? Am I excited? We just got...
No, you said suck it.
Yeah, I did say suck it. I did say suck it. Now, do I think that we got one of the best offensive free agents in the market? Yes.
Can I interrupt you right here? The day was also terrible sports-wise for me because that was a day... that the news got released that Gerrit Cole was going to go have imaging done on his throwing elbow. So I thought he was going to have Tommy John. So I was already in the dumps about that. Like, that was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I saw the news. I saw rumors about it all day. Now, I saw Swift leave to the Bears for, I forget what his deal was.
It was too much. I think it was 25 overall.
Yeah, something like that. But with what we paid... for Barkley, who was easily the best running back in the market. After looking at the contract details and seeing how much money he's getting, it is a bit alarming. Just because, what was the deal? 3 year, $37.75 million contract that could be worth up to $46.75 million. The guarantees were $26 million guaranteed at the signing. The rest are incentives. I don't hate the guaranteed $26 million. Now, the whole thing with Saquon. I hate it. The whole thing with Saquon. Okay, but a lot of the running backs in this market were getting around that.
No, they weren't. Derrick Henry got 9.
Derrick Henry's also 30 years old.
I don't disagree with that, but Saquon's 27. It's not like he's in his prime right now, but it's not like he's going to get any younger.
Yeah, but I'd rather have Saquon,
I would rather have Saquon too, yeah, but the difference of $15 million guaranteed.
What did Henry get? Like $9 million.
He got $9 million guaranteed.
Yeah, compared to Saquon, I got what? Like, was it 12 a year?
No. Derrick Henry got $9 million in total.
Yeah, for a 1 year contract.
Two.
It was a
2 year contract. Wait. Let's look this up.
There have been so many signings in the NFL. It's really hard to keep up with all of them. I'm pretty sure Henry got a 1 year contract. Yeah, okay, 2 years, $16 million.
Yeah,
million
okay.
So you got $8 million for Henry. $8 million for Henry. And then Saquon got 26. Okay, if you think about it, the guaranteed money that Saquon's getting a year is $8.5 million. With the incentives and everything on top of that.
Yeah, and no, I think...
No, he's getting about 12. He's getting about 12 a year.
Yeah.
So, you're paying for the age difference. You're paying for the...
Receiving ability out of the backfield. He's now, not a one-dimensional running back.
Yes. Now, the big thing for me is... This was so, and I mean so off-brand for the Eagles. We have never, and I mean never... We never invest in big-name running backs. We never have, never will. We always recycle. We always take in new guys. It's out of the ordinary for us. It's very unorthodox.
And I think from me, as an outside, maybe a little bit biased because how much I don't hate the Eagles. How much I hate the Eagles, I might be a bit biased here. But for me, it feels like they're stressing, they're reaching, they're looking for something because of how last year ended and with Howie knowing. Because listen, you can restructure contracts all you want. You can sign players to one-year backloaded deals or multi-years backloaded deals. But at some point, you have to pay up. And at some point, that cap hit on Jalen Hurts is going to be too insurmountable to keep all the players that you have. So he's like, it's now or never. And fair enough.
It has to be that way.
And fair enough. The problem is that I don't know if Saquon Barkley was ever the player that CMC is. And CMC doesn't have running ability, and Howie Roseman is really thinking that he can elevate this Eagles offense to where the Niners are at. Because the Niners are the team to beat in the NFC.
Is the difference between Swift and Barkley that much different to where the okay, you think about it, right? I'll say it again. I blame so much of last season on the coaches. And that is because when you think about it, Sean Desai or whoever was in this whole spiel last season, I knew we were fraudulent. As soon as, you know, like, we had all these close wins. Even week one, when we let Mac Jones drop, like, 300 yards on our defense. You can just tell something was wrong. And it was like, when we have guys, like, our best edge rusher dropping back in the coverage, you know that the guys in there have no idea what they're doing.
Right, and the way, though, that I heard them justify that was that they viewed Hassan Reddick as an outside linebacker in a Matt Patricia scheme that's really heavily based on a 3-4. And they just used Reddick as that outside linebacker. But I do agree with you. He should have been coming off a defensive end position rather than an outside linebacker.
But here's the thing, and this is what I'm excited for with Barkley. Is we've never had a talent like this, Eagles-wise, in a very long time. Not even possibly ever. If Barkley stays healthy, which is the key thing, the same thing that people were worried about with Swift, was the whole health thing. Swift plays with us, he starts getting healthy, it's a manageable workload. I think that with us keeping Kenneth Gainwell, not really signing any other big running backs, I do think that the workload is going to be a little less than what Barkley is probably anticipating or even used to because of how much he had to handle in the offense in New York. But I do think that the workload will be a lot lighter and therefore we'll get a lot healthier Saquon this upcoming year.
And he's never run behind an offensive line, not even probably at Penn State, with what he's going to with the Eagles.
No.
Which is terrifying. Yes. All right, we're moving on. Giants free agency coming up right now. And honestly, they had really one of the worst days, and it turned into honestly really bright spot that Monday of last week, the first day free agency started. Starts off the day, first deal gets done, it's Swift to the Bears, and right off the bat, that opens up the Eagles for a running back, and that means that Barkley will not be going to Chicago. And it was kind of getting in my head now that it's like the Eagles are actually a real possibility here. He goes, I was already in shambles with Gerrit Cole. Then that on top of that, Saquon getting, you know, his money. And I think that it was the right choice for him. He's not guaranteed anything after this contract. He's not. So that's the right choice, getting as much money as he could. No brainer going back home. It just sucks it was with the Eagles. And then Xavier McKinney going to Green Bay. He's a top five safety in the league.
That's a tough loss.
He's a top five safety in the league. There's no doubt. Look at the grades, not even just PPF.
That Green Bay secondary is scary.
He is a ball hawk, and we'll get into that. Green Bay had a very good offseason so far, in my opinion. But he is a ball hawk, man, and he was a big part of the leadership culture that we have. And it looked like that day was a loss. We signed John Runyon. John Runyon is solid, man, at left guard. Right guard, iffy. Left guard, he's solid. And every offensive line that you're going to sign for the Giants is an upgrade from what we had last year.
It was horrendous.
Giving up the league record in sacks, it's every signing is going to be better. We brought in a better offensive line coach, who I was really excited about. And then we bring in the offensive tackle, Jermaine, whatever his last name is. He could play right guard or right tackle, and that then leaves Evan Neal with some competition at right tackle, which I think is what he needs. And if he doesn't have it, you bump him in. He swallows his pride. He bumps into right guard. Then we have our right tackle. We have a better offensive line coach because John Feliciano 2 years ago was on the Giants, and he was now on the 49ers starting at left guard for a Super Bowl caliber team. So it's not like the guys we had aren't talented. I think our coach was terrible. And all of the wrong... And I think you're going to see John Michael Schmitz take another huge step this year. And it's getting better. It's getting better. But the blueprint for building NFL teams is so simple, and it took us so long to get right. You go trenches, quarterback, weapons. And every team has done that.
You don't win games if you don't
build right. And look at what the Bengals did, right? You already had Joe Mixon and T. Higgins on that team, all right? But then you get Jonah Williams the first year, who is iffy at best now. And the Bengals still have their issues on the offensive line. You get your franchise quarterback in Joe Burrow, and then you go off and take Ja'Marr Chase. Right? Boom, boom, boom. That's how it's done. And the Giants finally got through their heads that a safety position and a running back position, you cannot be spending $15 million on a year if you are not a contending team. And they are not a contending team. They are a rebuilding team that is finally doing it right. So I thought the moves were okay. And then I open up Instagram, and I see on Giants Zone, great Giants fan page for all you Giants listeners out there, because they put down tweets from everyone, not just Art Stapleton, not just Jordan Ronan, everyone. Right? And it was an unverified source saying that Carolina Panthers reporters are now saying that Brian Burns to the Giants is done. It's just draft compensation. So I look it up, and I look up Carolina reporters, and there was one that had it. Started getting my hopes up. Then Art Stapleton starts saying there's murmurs going on. Brian Burns is the best defensive end that you never heard of in the NFL. He is an otherworldly athletic freak talent-wise that was getting doubled and triple teamed in a horrendous Carolina team. Still putting up sack numbers like 8 or 9. Defenses now, offensive now, are going to have to try to scheme how do you block Brian Burns, Dexter Lawrence, who is one of the better pass-rushing defensive tackles in the league, and an up-and-coming Kayvon Thibodeau, who had no one on his other side and put up 12 sacks. That is a scary young defensive line.
Kayvon had a scary second half of the season.
That front seven is terrifying with Mike McFadden and Bobby Okereke too. They did it right. And you look at what Danielle Hunter got at 29. Brian Burns is 25. Brian Burns is getting 30 a year. Danielle Hunter is getting 25. That contract was on an overpay. And if you're still worried about that contract, Giants fans, Daniel Jones, when we release him next year, because we are, whether he has a great year or not, his neck injury and his ACL brings up too much concerns to keep him. That's going to clear up $30 million a year.
You might draft a quarterback too.
We'll get into that. But you basically are going to swap Daniel Jones' contract for Brian Burns' contract. And to make it even sweeter, last year the Rams come knocking on Carolina's door. 2 firsts and a second round pick in the future for Brian Burns. They turned it down. The Giants trade a second and a fifth for him. You know what they got from Leonard Williams? What did they get for Leonard Williams?
Go ahead and tell me.
A second and a fifth. The Giants straight up traded Leonard Williams for Brian Burns. Are you kidding me? Listen, I have full faith in this front office because they know what they're doing finally. They're valuing positions that need to be valued. They gave Andrew Thomas his contract extension. They gave Dexter Lawrence his contract extension. They said, Barkley, listen, we want to keep you. You're a really good player. You're an excellent player. We can't spend more than this amount of money on the field. And by the way, the running back that they signed is straight up a Giants running back. He's hard-nosed, running. He is second in the league in missed first tackles last year.
And he's probably the smallest guy on the field, too.
He is going to run the way Giants need a running back to run. What's and his? They got him for a third of the price.
What's this guy's name?
Devin Singletary. So he's not Saquon Barkley. He's not. I'm not trying to say that he is. But he is going to be very good and a little bit surprising, I think, for most Giants fans. He's going to fit in there, and he's going to give us a nice 950-yard season.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, like I am a big fan of I'm a big fan of Singletary. I thought he had a really solid year last year. He even beat out who most people thought was going to lead that backfield, Damian Pierce, for that starting spot. No one thought Singletary was even going to have a role besides the receiving end, and that's what Singletary is going to bring to the Giants offense, which they are losing in Saquon. But as he's not going to be as good as Saquon, but the hope is, which we'll get into the draft a little bit later, that you get some weapons and that you don't really have to rely on running back as much as you used to anymore.
And on top of that, Daboll knows Singletary from Buffalo. Singletary knows what offense he's getting into, right? And I also think the amount of Buffalo Bill players coming back shows the type of coach that Daboll is. You know, like, I liked playing for this guy, you know? Day two, they sign a couple more depth pieces. They get Isaiah McKenzie as a wide receiver. He's all right, 1-year contract.
He's okay.
They get the Green Goblin, so now they got Spider-Man Brian Burns and Green Goblin Jalen Mills, which is going to be interesting. Jalen Mills is definitely on the decline of his career.
I'm surprised he's still in the league
at
this point.
But I do think that the Patriots had him in the wrong system and in the wrong position. Can he play safety? Yes, but he's a true corner. And he's going to be a nice utility guy for the Giants. 1-year contract again, so it's not going to kill you in the long term.
He does the dirty work for you. He'll get the job done. I like Jalen Mills in a lot of zone coverages. I don't think he's a great man coverage guy, but he's a good. He'll get the tackles. He'll get the dirty things done for you. I think it was a solid deal, 1-year contract.
So the big thing for the Giants in this upcoming season is Xavier McKinney was a signal caller. He was the captain on the defense. Who takes that position now? And it's Dexter Lawrence's team, because Dexter Lawrence is now, no debate, after Aaron Donald's retirement, the best nose tackle in the league. He is. Pass rushing, run block, run stuffing. He's a double team nightmare still, getting into his prime. We haven't seen the best yet of Dexter Lawrence. PFF is fraudulent. They graded him, though, as the highest nose tackle in the league last year.
I'd probably agree with you at that point.
Right. So,
I'm trying to think of other names.
Quinnen Williams is up there.
Williams is a really good player.
But again, these are positions that are high in need that there's not a lot of. Edge rushers, tackles, nose tackles. And the Giants locked up young guys for a while.
There's the cream of the crop, and then there's the
right
guys who just are serviceable.
And the Giants have now three cream of the crops.
So I would agree with you. I think Burns has a lot less stress on him now, so I think that you'll see a lot bigger performances out of his end. Dexter Lawrence, you know what you're getting. I do want to see Kayvon Thibodeau put up a solid full year before
He's only 23.
I understand, but I want to see him put up a solid full year before I'm really on that, you know, that whole. And I understand 23 is young, he's learning. That defense was a whole mess, but he was definitely a bright spot.
Defense wasn't as a mess as it was the offense. The defense is why we won certain games last year. But with Kayvon, you have a guy who had an inconsistent season to put up 12 sacks. That's terrifying. And 12 sacks is a good year for a defensive end.
Yeah, he got most of them in the second half of the year, too.
Big personality guy. We'll see. They're doing it right, though, finally.
You guys are heading in the right direction.
We're finally doing it right. And you put Webb, and we'll get to the draft, and we'll see where Daniel Jones ends up, you know, after this season. Anyway, we're moving on to the Eagles. Free agency. One of the more busier teams in the NFL.
All right. So I just want to preface this. We ended off last season losing to the Buccaneers. I could have told you weeks ago that we would have lost round one. Not a very shocking result. Very clear holes in our offense and our defense, more so on the defensive side of things, but also just the play calling in general on the offensive side was very questionable. I would like to remind you that Jalen Hurts, all throughout the years of his career, has not had a consistent offensive coordinator, and he's had to switch up an offense every single year of his career. So, mind you, until week 12, Jalen Hurts was in the MVP conversation. I will say that second half of the year when the decline happened, which I do think needs to be scientifically researched because it is absolutely insane that you lose that many games at the end of the season. It's just mind-blowing. I could write on for forever on that last season, but I do have to say the big headlines and the saddest things so far this offseason is that my boy Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox retired. It's hard to even like think about next season without them in it because you have them for so long and they've provided such a lead play for so long. So now you have these holes they need to figure out. And filling in I don't even think you can argue with me, a first ballot Hall of Famer center.
The greatest of all time.
The greatest of all time. Greatest of all time.
No debate, top three.
No. It's hard to fill that in. It really is. But I would just like to say I love the both of them to death. I'm so thankful for their careers, and I wish them nothing but the best. So I just have to put that out there. On top of that, we bring back Brandon Graham, and Brandon Graham is a great depth guy at this point. I don't think he's a great – he's not the cream of the crop that we were talking about earlier in his career, but he's still a great depth guy, and you cannot ask for any more depth in that sort of position. So you really can't complain bringing back Brandon Graham for another year, another cheap deal. The first day, I was getting a little concerned, just a little bit, because – I saw we were rumored for McKinney, and I would have loved McKinney in Eagles uniform, not only because he was an ex-Giant, but also he's a great player. He's a Hawk. He's what we were looking for halfway through the season and what we tried getting out of Byard, but Byard is just not the same player as McKinney.
The reason why McKinney also got his money from the Packers is that he's 24. So like, yeah. The best is still yet to come.
Yes.
Yeah, he – yeah, okay.
But he's a – I think McKinney is just he's one of those players that makes game-changing plays. And I was really excited that we were rumored for him, and I'm really upset that we didn't get him. But, I mean, first signing, like, you signed Zach Bond to a one-year deal. He's great. He's a good depth guy, I guess. Didn't really play that much in New Orleans, but in the linebacker position, we needed a lot of depth, and I guess it just made sense to sign him to a deal. It was only 1 year, kind of prove a contract deal. What I do love is the Matt Hennessy signing, 1 year contract. I think that Matt Hennessy is a great depth piece for what we've lost in the offensive line. Matt Hennessy used to be a really good player, had some injuries, but it's really it's a no risk deal. Matt Hennessy brings a lot of depth and a lot of potential to what we've lost this offseason. So he'll be a great backup guy for Driscoll, and he might – Driscoll was a free agent. But he'll be a great backup to the guys that we have in the trenches. So I was a big fan of that signing. And then we bring in – so we have Olamide Zaccheaus and Quez Watkins. They're both free agents. We bring in Devontae Parker. I didn't love the deal. I think that we can get someone a lot better as our wide receiver three. Devontae Parker is a little different of a player than Quez and Zaccheaus. He's used to being a big wide receiver threat, meaning that he's like a great downfield player. He's not fast, though. He's terrible off the line of scrimmage. But it's okay. Like, with the guys that we have in our offense, it's not a big concern. I would have liked someone a little better, maybe like maybe I'm getting my hopes up a little high, but KJ Osborne is out there still. Or like Tyler Boyd is still out there. Like those guys who aren't going to get a lot of money but are great wide receiver depth guys. I wouldn't have hated either of them, but I understand the cheap signing. So the first big day one signing that we brought was Bryce Huff from the New York Jets. I understand the 3-year, what was it, $51 million deal. I am a big, and I mean big fan of this signing. I love this signing. He has been super productive behind several other, I mean, the Jets have a great, they have a lot of great guys over there. He had 7.5 sacks over his first 3 seasons of the league before breaking out in 2023. And he had a great 7 games, all those starts coming in the 2021 season. But again, he's just a great depth guy. He's young still. He has that potential. And with rumors of Reddick being on the move, and now they have Josh Sweat coming back, I do like the move a lot, as he was a big breakout guy for the Jets last year. I know a lot of guys were a little concerned about the big contract, but I think that what we saw in the second half of the season from Huff was something to be really excited about. Now, I guess talking about the Hassan Reddick and the Josh Sweat kind of situation, I do like Sweat coming back. I do think that Sweat is a great, I don't think his production is going to go up or down. I think it's going to stay around the same. He did have a, and the same with Reddick, he did have a pretty mid second half to the season. I do think a lot of what the coaches did with him kind of limited him in what he was doing in that defense. But again, on the whole Hassan Reddick thing, I love Hassan Reddick, Temple product. I do think that if you are going to move Reddick, you at least get around the same, if not a little less than what Brian Burns got in that deal with the Giants. I do think that he's a pivotal player in any sort of defense that he goes to. And I do think that he's worth at least a second round pick. Do I think that we'll get that? No. But again, if you don't get anything like that, you keep him for the next year and then you let him walk.
I wouldn't give more than a fourth.
That's insane to me. I just don't see how.
I wouldn't give more than a fourth. Maybe a third. That's just insane. with the way his contract is. Oh, okay. Yeah, I think he's more along the lines of where Leonard Williams is at. And I mean, the Giants gave up the same thing for Leonard Williams and Brian Burns.
I think that he's worth at least a second round pick. I can't see otherwise. And the thing is like, there's no pressure. If we keep Reddick, it's fine. The problem is we can't pay him the money that he wants. He's not going to get that Brian Burns contract. I don't think he's going to get that Danielle Hunter contract either.
I think he would be more in line for the Danielle Hunter.
You think he's getting $30 mil a year? Or a $30 mil contract?
No, but he's 29. He had one really good season, one decent season. We'll see. I think the other, and you might be getting into this, but we got to definitely keep moving on. I think the big thing for the Eagles is what type of players are getting and health.
Yeah.
Right? I think if you can get Saquon Barkley is going to play 51 games with the Eagles. I think if you get 35 out of that, 40, it's a win with that contract. But I think the thing with Saquon, with his usage down and a better offensive line, you can throw all this out at me, but an ACL is really, and he's come back from it, and he's looked good from it, but it is a high-risk re-injury, especially for a running back. And he's also one of those guys that just really has those fluky injuries, like stepping on the Cowboys helmet his third year. You know, like he's just one of those guys that just pops up Wednesday on an injury report. You don't really know why, and all of a sudden he's out for a month.
So, yes.
Are you going to get into Devin White and CJ?
I am, right. Okay. Now. So,
and Zach Bond.
Zach Bond, I did talk about him a little bit.
Do you think
that's a great signing?
I think Zach Bond is going to be a better player for the Eagles than Devin White will be.
That's a great take.
Devin White, you can say he was out with the foot injury.
I'll get into it.
All right, but we got to keep moving. Get into it. Okay. I'm going to cut you off, though, if you keep rambling.
The Gardner Johnson signing, I don't like it. You just signed a guy who a year ago just trash-talked your whole organization, your whole fan base.
But it's not even that. It's the fact that he also can't stay healthy.
He can't stay healthy. And it's like, it's not like it's like some alarming injury where it's his ACL. He had a whole pec injury the whole first half of the season with the Lions. He's a great player. Just a three-year deal is just a little scary to me. I don't like that it's such a long
deal. It's the 3 year that kills you.
I know.
Yeah.
And it's like, I wish it would have been like a 1 year prove it deal where like, if he's really want to be, if he wants to be back here, if he wants to get that big safety money, he needs to come earn it. And that's what I would prefer. I would have preferred maybe like an $8-9 million 1 year deal and call it a day. But again, like a 3 year deal is a little scary for the guy. I don't love it. The Devin White signing. This is what you're getting. Okay. You're getting a freak athlete, but you're also getting someone who is confused, and I mean confused as hell on the defensive side. He's a round one talent, 1 year prove it deal. I understand the concerns, I really do.
He sounds a lot like that Georgia linebacker that you got in the third round. What was his name again?
Nakobe Dean.
Yeah. He sounds a lot like him, except Devin White actually had somewhat of a career with the Bucs.
Yes.
He's a head case.
He is a head case, but here's the thing. You want guys that... See, this is what I'm thinking. Vic Fangio wanted a guy like Devin White on his team. He wanted a freak athlete. He's always had a freak athlete at the linebacker position. This is why I think that... Do I wish it was Patrick Queen or like any of these other...
Can I throw a name out? That would have been a one-year deal and probably cheaper. Isaiah Simmons.
Simmons? I don't like Simmons. I think he was bad in New York. I think he was great.
I don't think that he was great, but I think Isaiah Simmons would have cost the Eagles less money, and I think he would have been better for them in a Vic Fangio defensive scheme.
This is what we need from our linebackers, though, is just someone that can tackle.
The thing with Devin White is that he had a foot injury. They said it was a foot injury. Then he goes out saying, no, I wasn't even injured. They just didn't want to play me. There was a lot going on with the Bucs, a lot of outside stuff going on with the Bucs that can be either really good for a team or can be terrible for a team. It's a one-year prove-it deal for a veteran. I don't hate it. There's better options. Zach Bond is a dog. And you got him for less money.
I don't know much about him, so like, I'm interested.
I remember watching him on Wisconsin and being like, this dude is unreal. And Wisconsin and Indiana and schools like that, Nebraska breeds middle linebackers.
That's what I'm saying. The Saints have a great defensive unit over there, so that's why I'm not really concerned with the playing time per se. I do think that it's a decent deal for what we got. But again, we've never been big spenders on linebackers, so I'm not really like overly concerned on the Devin White signing. Again, it's just like, you know, I do wish that we got, I don't know, there were so many good linebackers, but again, we never spend anything on linebackers. We just need a guy that tackles. And I think that because he's a freak athlete, if he can get around the field, if he could just be a nuisance,
And we're going to wrap up this segment. I'm going to leave it with this. You can respond to it because it's your segment. It's the Eagles segment. I think that the Eagles put a Band-Aid over a bullet wound, though, this offseason. I think that they thought their offense was the problem. Their players were the problems. I mean, they dealt with their coordinators. Kellen Moore, great offensive coordinator. Vic Fangio's decent.
He's okay.
But they refuse to look at the glaring holes and still spend money on a defensive line that doesn't need it. You could have went out with the Devin White, Saquon Barkley money and got Xavier McKinney and find a cheaper option. Or you want to do one better, you still have Hassan Reddick. Why don't you go out with the Bryce Huff money and Devin White and go get McKinney? Why don't you go get an actual good middle linebacker instead of trying to piece it together?
The Huff signing really confused me. I don't hate it. It just confused me.
I just don't understand why they're turning a blind eye to the problems that were the reason why they lost everything last season. And if they keep turning a blind eye, this championship window is going out the door.
Do you think this might be wild? You think Surtain will move on draft night? Patrick Surtain, Denver Bronco.
No, I don't.
You don't?
Oh my gosh, no.
I think talking about it this season.
I think the Broncos.
There was
all right. Well, you know what? That's a great segment into our. Let's run through other notable things that happened on free agency, and then we'll move on for the last 10 minutes on the NFL draft. Okay, first off, biggest winner of the day, I think for me personally, is the Atlanta Falcons. I think the Atlanta Falcons have
all they needed.
I think they have completely solidified themselves as a true, unbelievable NFC contender.
They are. You, ooh, really?
And I think David Tomer is rejoicing in our Dynasty League because Kyle Pitts finally has something he has not had since he went to Archbishop Wood right around the corner from Cairn University. A quarterback who will throw him the ball and get him targets. You heard Kirk Cousins' press conference. He said, what do you want for the number 8? You know what he said? Targets. This dude is unreal.
An animal. He is unleashed. He has been in the cage for, 3 years now?
He's a first-round Ritter and
get him the ball.
Heineke throwing just ducks to him the entire time. Bijan's a stud. They revamped the offensive line. All right.
They have one of the best offensive lines in the league.
They got Drake London, but also they got Mooney. They got Rondale Moore.
Great side. Great side.
They didn't miss. They did not miss.
They had a great offseason.
Now,
are you worried about the contract, like the length of the contract? A 4-year deal.
Kirk's a winner.
Oh, Kirk's a winner in the deal 100%.
No. Kirk wins in the NFL.
Does he, though? Has he proved any winning in the NFL? Has he? A 4-year deal off an Achilles injury. That is alarming to me. I love Kirk Cousins. Don't get me wrong. He's a dog. He is an absolute dog. 4-year contract. That was insane to me.
We'll see.
It's all they are missing, though. They have a great defense.
They're an NFC contender. Contender.
Wow.
Contender.
I don't hate them.
They're not the top. They're not the Niners. They're not the Eagles. They're not the Lions. They're the step below that.
Their division sucks.
They're winning it.
They're winning the
division. Oh, it's not even going to be a good competition this year. All right. Second team that won. Houston Texans. Whoa.
Joe Mixon for a 7th? I would have paid that.
Joe Mixon
I would have paid that.
Unbelievable.
He's a great player.
The upgrade they got from there, unbelievable. Danielle Hunter along Will Anderson. Oh, my goodness. They revamped their linebacker position. They got more depth at corner and Jeff Okuda and at nose tackle. They got Lonnie Johnson too. They had a good offseason. I'm going to keep moving. Division rivals. It's not the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys have an NA not applicable next to this free agency this offseason. Washington got really good. Austin Ekeler for $11 million. Love the signing.
I think Sam Howell being traded almost, which I'll get into in the draft, confirms they're going quarterback.
The only person they lost was Cameron Curl. That's the only person they lost. They got Tyler Biadasz from the Cowboys. I might have just absolutely butchered that last name. They got edge rushers. They got Bobby Wagner. It's good. They had a good offseason.
I would just like to say, I want to talk about a loser real quick, and it makes my heart so happy. The Dallas Cowboys.
I just said they get an NA for this free agency because they didn't do anything.
They're a loser. They are a loser. I don't think that's an NA. I think it's a loser.
When Jerry Jones players. When Jerry Jones says, I want to be competitive finally,
and they don't doesn't do anything,
it makes me happy.
It's a loser.
Hey, it should warm America's soul right now.
But also, the Buffalo Bills are way worse than they were last year,
right,
and they don't look good. They lose Jordan Poyer, who's
they had to release
Mitch Morse.
And here's the thing, this is what's gonna happen to these teams, like the Eagles, like the Bengals, like the Chargers, if they don't get their act together, because it's coming with their cap hits at their wide receiver positions.
It's now hitting the Bills.
It's hitting the Bills now. 2 years from now, it's the Eagles and the Bengals.
That's why you need to win.
I agree. And I don't think we're having this conversation right now.
We're not.
If the Bills won. All right, two more winners. one more head scratcher. We're going on to the draft. Green Bay Packers. Josh Jacobs to Aaron Jones. People are saying it's not a big enough upgrade for what they gave up. It's a huge upgrade. Josh Jacobs led the league in rushing. Are you kidding me? Behind a Nixon match offensive line at the Raiders. All right. Aaron Jones was putting it backfield with A.J. Dillon because he couldn't stay healthy. That's an excellent signing. They're going to have to pay Jordan Love at some point, but they're trying to make good on his rookie deal right now. They got a stud safety in Xavier McKinney. All right. They only added two pieces.
How are you?
But I think they did great.
How are you feeling about Christian Wilkins to the Raiders? That is a scary defense.
It's good.
They still suck on offense.
It's good. They're the Giants. The Raiders and the Giants are the same team.
Dude, they just need a quarterback, man. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine Kirk Cousins going in the they'd be so good.
The Raiders and the Giants are in the same position outside of Davante Adams. That's a big jump right there. Davante Adams from whatever wide receiver won the Giants have.
Free Adams, man.
Second to my last winner is the Steelers. I love them getting rid of Pickett. Russ is great. Justin Fields, absolute head scratcher. Patrick Queen, great signing. They didn't lose too much outside of Deontay Johnson, but we all knew he was gone. Still got Pickens. Russ is awesome. Here's what I'll say about Justin Fields. And I was listening to The Herd with Colin, and he's an idiot, but he knows in his head, and he is so in tune with the GMs of the league that he has insider information always, and he knows how the league executives are thinking. The thing is that the fans view Justin Fields as a star waiting to break out. The NFL GMs view Justin Fields as a man who is below average pocket passer, has to scramble, average arm, below average accuracy. If I'm the Giants, though, man. If I'm the New York Giants.
Why not?
But why not? It's a six-round pick.
Why would you
is want Daniel him? Jones a, who's better? To, who's but, better? Who's better? Daniel Jones or Justin Fields?
I honestly don't know. Is that the bad thing? I honestly don't know. Daniel Jones just made the playoffs 2 years ago. I honestly don't know.
I'm a big fan of I'm a big fan of Daniel Jones. I'm a huge fan.
I just don't.
But why not take the risk? Why not roll the dice? Is there a player in the sixth round that's worse?
You let me talk now.
Is there a better player that's better than Justin Fields in the sixth round?
You don't get it. If you don't have that jump, that Jalen Hurts jump, that Lamar Jackson jump, with the throwing, with the decision making, you're not going to cut it in the league. You can't be one dimensional. Justin Fields.
He's been in the league for 2 years.
Yeah, that jump has already been made by those elite guys.
It took Lamar 4 years.
No, it did not. Lamar
was Dude, he was terrible in 2019. He was terrible in 2020.
He was decent in 2020.
Oh, no. It took Lamar at least 4 years to get it under where he's at now.
No, you don't.
But here's the thing. Here's
GMs don't want to take that time.
I agree with you.
And here's why. Especially with this quarterback class.
I agree with you, and here's why. What has Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson won so far? They're not Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, those type of quarterbacks. Michael Vick wasn't. Randall Cunningham wasn't. Lamar Jackson won't be.
I mean,
and I pray to the good Lord that Jalen Hurts won't be.
I don't understand what else Jalen Hurts could have done in that Super Bowl. I'm not getting into this conversation with you. In that Super Bowl, Jalen Hurts was...
Did he win?
No, but it wasn't his fault.
Okay, we're moving on. Go ahead. The one that everyone says had a great offseason, and I don't think they did. The Tennessee Titans.
Why?
Sorry, Brady Hill. Who's your quarterback?
Why sign Calvin Ridley?
Who's your quarterback?
Why?
You did everything I said not to do.
Why?
You did everything I said not to do.
Why?
Calvin Ridley for 4 years, $91 million? What the frick are we doing?
Tony Pollard? He was mid-level.
What does Tony Pollard add to your team?
He was trash.
Do you know who your quarterback is? Do you know what your offensive line is? Are you kidding me?
It's garbage.
Are you kidding me?
The Titans still suck.
I'm sorry. And you invested multi-year, multi-million dollar deals into players who have not proved it yet. They've lost. And I'm looking at sportingnews.com right now, and they have them at 5. What are we doing, NFL writers? What are we doing? They didn't get better. They set themselves back 2 years. Will Levis is not the answer. He had two good games, and they're banking everything on that. We're moving on. NFL draft.
Are we going to talk about Judy being traded or no?
Broncos are irrelevant.
They're so... Aaron Campbell. I hope. Aaron Campbell. Excuse me there. Sorry, we had a little mishap. Are we in? Are we good?
We might be. Oh, yeah. We're in.
Aaron Campbell, I hope you're listening. Your Denver Broncos are the worst in the division. They are garbage, trash. And I don't care what Michael Phoenix Jr. Will do
for you. You are a bot when it comes to technology. I'll just explain what just happened here. We have the adapter hooked up to my iPhone right now. We're recording on voice memos. He just yanked the microphone back to get on the soapbox. You just yanked it back to get on your soapbox. You ripped it out. You made the phone hit the floor. Now we got 30 seconds of just what the frick was that?
Listen, it happens.
All right. Caleb Williams is number one.
Sorry, another loser. I have to say this, and then we'll get on the draft. What are the Carolina Panthers doing?
We're at 51 minutes right now.
Good, we'll keep on going. We'll keep on going.
Thanks for staying with us, man.
Hey, listen.
I hope you liked me screaming about the Giants. That's why we started with the Giants, to get you hooked.
Oh, I'm in.
I'm sick as a dog right now. It doesn't matter.
Listen, I was pretty tired heading into the podcast, and I was like, oh, man, this is, I don't know, this is interesting. And then now I'm locked.
What are the Panthers doing?
What are the Panthers doing?
They're boosting their defense, their offensive line. They're giving Bryce Young weapons.
Shut up. No,
man. Did they overpay? Yes, but Robert Hunt is a dog. They got weapons.
They overpaid.
Deontay Johnson.
Dude, no, I don't. Why?
It's a premium position. Why? Offensive lineman. That's why you overpay. Look what guys got who are mid this offseason on the trenches. Look what they got. Robert Hunt is not mid. He's great.
He's okay. I really don't think he's that great.
He's great.
The contract that they gave him is absolutely nuts. It's bonkers. A 5-year, what was it, worth $100 million? Are you kidding?
You know what we're going to find out this year? I saw Bryce Young in that national championship game in 2022.
I'm out on him. Podcast, listen to me right now. I'm out on Bryce Young. CJ Stroud is the quarterback of the draft.
Let me paint the picture
nine
for you.
Close.
Let me paint the picture for you.
It's nine.
It matters where you go and where your organization's at. Daniel Jones could be doing what Brock Purdy's doing right now. He could. And I think Brock Purdy, we don't even know his name if he's on the Giants right now. We have no idea. I'm a huge Daniel Jones fan. Is he going to be out of Giant Blue and probably out of a job next year?
Yes.
Absolutely. And I feel terrible for the guy. We ruined his career. Daniel Jones,
yes.
If you're listening right now, and I know you are, I know you tune into the Offseason Podcast, because what are you doing if you don't tune in? What are you doing?
It's the best podcast in the world, man.
I'm sorry, man. We failed you.
You did.
You showed that you can win in this league.
You didn't even talk about Darren Waller yet.
You showed that you can win in this league. And you have gotten sacked more times than I can count. And have led to neck injuries that are going to last you your whole life. Torn ACLs, which ruined your football career. And I'm sorry, man.
Because
if you went to the Niners, if you went to the Packers, if you went to a steady organization, you would be a heck of a football player.
He has a good arm.
He's exactly what you want out of an NFL quarterback. He was put in the worst position.
Yes.
And I'm so sorry. With that being said, Bryce Young had no one. He had Adam Thielen.
Adam Thielen's pretty good.
And he was amazing last year.
He's pretty good at football.
You add studs across the offensive line. You add Deontay Johnson. You now have two legitimate threats. Wait, let me look up what else he did.
So let's say Bryce Young has another mediocre year. Are you out on him?
He had a bad year.
Yeah. Not even mediocre. Let's say Bryce Young has another bad year. Are you out on him?
Give me a second. I was just looking through the draft. I'm an idiot.
I just don't understand. And also, with the Burns deal, you reject the Rams offer, which could have gotten you a lot.
Listen,
more.
I'm not saying they didn't make a lot of wrong moves. I'm saying, okay, here we go. Damian Lewis, Robert Hunt, all right? You got Deontay Jackson to pair him up with Adam Thielen. What I saw out of Bryce Young and a Nick Saban offense at Alabama with studs all around him, I saw him dice up the best defense ever in college football. I don't want to hear about the 2001 Miami Hurricanes. That Georgia Bulldogs defense was unbelievable. Okay. Top to bottom, they had everyone go in the first round. Think about that. They had 11 players on the field that were going to be first round impact players. And Bryce Young destroyed that team. And I looked over at my dad sitting on the couch and I said, that guy is going to be a superstar. Is CJ Stroud in a so much better position right now? Yes. Is he a better quarterback than Bryce Young? For the NFL?
Yes.
For the NFL? Probably.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he is. He's a better size. He's a better arm. Bryce Young should not be graded on the season he just had because he had nothing around him. He had a terrible head coach. Now he's got guys that can block for him. He's got wide receivers that are proven to be a thousand. And Deontay Johnson's okay.
No, Deontay Johnson's a really good player.
He can't. Yeah.
He's a great player.
Is he top 25?
When he's healthy, yes. I do think so.
That's the key. When he's healthy. Listen, I think if Deontay Johnson stays healthy and Bryce Young does not take a step forward, it's time to scratch your heads and panic. I'm pressing the panic button.
I'm just out
on on Bryce Young. But after the first year, you can't do that to him.
I just don't. I just like it's. It's the size thing for me. We're starting to see with Kyler Murray now, where, like, Kyler Murray didn't have a great year. Did not have a great year. Again, but it's, like, situation thing. So, like, I don't know. I'll give him a chance. I'll give him a chance this upcoming year. I'm just, like, not very... Like, I just think a lot of the quarterbacks in this past class were a lot better than he was. But, again, they added some guys.
They were in a better...
They're in the better spot than they were last
year. Quarterbacks were in a lot better position this year than Bryce Young was. Mock draft, what's going to happen? Chicago Bears, they take
Caleb Williams.
Even a debate anymore. Lock. We know what's happening.
It's a lock.
People who are saying our bust don't know ball.
And I'm going to tell you number two right now because the Washington Commanders are a lock for a quarterback. And their quarterback will be Jaden Daniels.
I disagree.
Nope.
It's Drake May.
Nope. Drake May is going to the Patriots.
I disagree.
Drake May fits the whole... I'm going to get into this. Jaden Daniels is electric. He is an electric player. Fry my Florida Gators
I'm not saying that Drake May is better than Jaden Daniels. Let me do my mock draft first. First 10 picks. Because this is where the Giants are every single year, so I value it very much. Washington Command. There's a reason why teams always pick in the top 10 because they don't know how to draft.
Yes.
Exhibit A, the New York Giants.
New York Giants.
Okay? They're always in the top 10 because they have no idea how the frick to draft.
The Bears are always in here.
The Bears also made great positions, though.
Cardinals.
They made great trades to get to where they are.
They finessed the Panthers last year.
I think the Washington Commanders take Drake May. I think he's more of a prototypical, more of a safe option for a team that they're really hoping they can flip the team in 2 years, which is why they signed Austin Ekeler. They really think they can flip this over in 2 years, especially with Terry McLaurin. I think they take Drake May. So I think number one's Caleb Williams. He's not a bust. Whoever's telling you that is an idiot. He's not going to be Patrick Mahomes right away, but this dude is a generational talent.
Who are we talking about?
Caleb Williams.
Talking about Caleb Williams?
Yeah. Number two is Drake May. Number three, I heard rumblings. Ooh. Little earthquakes coming out of New England right now. They're pretty pissed off they didn't get Calvin Ridley.
They're taking quarterback.
They're pretty pissed off they didn't get a wide receiver. Do the Patriots think to themselves, Marvin Harrison is too good of a prospect? And we're not going to see a wide receiver prospect like him next year. Jacoby Brissett can start in the NFL. As a bridge quarterback, he can start in the NFL. I'm not saying this is the right decision. This is what I think is about to happen. I think that they view Marvin Harrison Jr. as too big of a huge prospect to not take him at three. What if they take him at three? That throws the Cardinals for a loop. The rest of the draft is up in the air. You know what? I do think they're going to do that. I think they view Maserati Marv as too big of a prospect to take. They take him at three. Cardinals are down for a loop. Do they take Malik Nabers? Do they trade down? I love that trade down. You know who trades up? The Minnesota Vikings. Jaden Daniels. Give me him at four. To the Minnesota Vikings. Number five. Oh, Justin Herbert lost a lot. But he's got a friendly neighbor in Malik Nabers. Number five. Love that pick for them. Oh, he's amazing. I wish he was on the Giants.
He's such a good player.
Oh, I wish he was on the Giants. He would be a wide receiver. Who's going to New York Giants? Let me stand up for this because I'm about to get hyped. I wish you saw me on record right now. I love the underdog mentality. I love it. Put me in the shoulder straps, baby. I'm ready to go. You know who's won at the collegiate level? You know who's a better NFL quarterback than a college quarterback? Oh my God. And he won a national championship as a college quarterback? You know who that is? You know who's 6'3", above average arm, excellent accuracy, and dealt with no weapons? And has a year to study? And you know who has a year to study underneath him? Roman Wilson is a round three wide receiver. You know who that is? He has a year to study under Daniel Jones, too, to pick up the NFL game. I see so many people complaining about this. If they take J.J. McCarthy at six, I walk out the door as a happy man. J.J. McCarthy will be a better quarterback than Drake May is. 100%. He's a dog. You know what happened last time that someone really slept on a Michigan quarterback? Nah, I'm just messing with you. I'm not comparing him to Tom Brady. Come on, I'm not comparing him to Tom Brady. But he's a dog! D-A-W-double-G. He's smoking pot with Snoop. He's a dog. He's the future. I look forward to that day. I will also take Malik Nabers in the much more sane mock draft where the quarterback goes to the Patriots and Marvin Harrison goes there and the Chargers take Brock Bowers. Or someone jumps up and takes McCarthy because they're too worried about the Giants and Malik Nabers falls down. I'd love that mock draft too. But dude, I'm excited about J.J. McCarthy. Tennessee takes the offensive lineman. That's great. I don't really know who that's going to be. The Jets probably will take another weapon instead of taking an offensive lineman like they should. The Atlanta Falcons take the edge. Dallas Turner, that's who I'm thinking about. The Bears get Rome Azune and just all of a sudden have the greatest team ever assembled in the NFC North. And that's my mock draft. Give me J.J. McCarthy at six! I want him. I need him.
Are you done?
I need J.J. McCarthy or Malik Nabers. Giants, if you take anyone else, you're fraudulent. Unless Jaden Daniels falls to you somehow. Don't trade up. Save your draft picks. You have too many holes in your team not to do that. Yeah, I'm done.
Good. I wish you guys could see me right now because I... You know...
Wait.
You were hating on J.J. McCarthy 2 weeks ago. What happened?
Let me rephrase this for you. I think the first three picks are quarterbacks. Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels. Patriots take another one. Marvin Harrison Jr. goes to the Cardinals. Vikings jump up, take McCarthy at five. Giants get Nabers. I think that's what's going to happen. Just if you got confused with all that. But I want McCarthy. What happened? I saw a guy. I had a revelation. Jesus put mud on my eyes and wiped it away, and I could see the daylight. J.J. McCarthy is the ideal NFL quarterback. He understands a pro offense. Jim Harbaugh runs a pro-style offense at Michigan. It's not really even going to be a jump. What was the last UNC quarterback that came out that was supposed to be top 10? You know what his name is? Mitch Trubisky. I'm not saying that Drake May is going to be him. I hope the best for the kid. But he's playing against ACC,
opponents. McCarthy's a winner, and he plays against really good teams in the Big Ten. And he wasn't a liability in Michigan. He did the job. Jaden Daniels is a wild card. He's electric, but man, he's got an arm. But man, there's that running aspect that he really needs to learn when to go and when to stay. Or he's going to wind up like Justin Fields or Lamar the first couple of years there. You asked me why I changed my mind on J.J. McCarthy. That's why.
All right. I just...
Buy into the hype right now on J.J. McCarthy.
I'm not buying it.
If he goes to a poverty organization like the Patriots, he's not going to be that good. But if he goes to a team like the Vikings and he gets paired up with Justin Jefferson, he's going to be good. I don't think he would be good on the Giants either.
I was literally going to say.
He's not going to be good on the Giants.
Okay.
But when it's all said and done, when we're looking back on this in 15 years, Drake May's out of the league, and J.J. McCarthy has made 7 Pro Bowls.
All right, if I could put up the, like, who let him cook meme right now, I'd be putting that up, because I'm gonna say my 10 here.
Oh, wait, we were going with 10? I only did up to the Giants. I think 7 Tennessee is Joe Walt, one of those offensive tackles. Falcons are getting Dallas Turner from Alabama. Bears are getting Rome Azune.
Yep.
Had the best first round I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Jets are getting another tackle. They should. They should take a tackle. I don't know if they will.
All right, so here's what I'm going to say.
Don't make that trade, though, if they're not moving up.
Here's what I'm going to say. Caleb Williams. So Justin Fields out of Chicago. It's an automatic lock. That Caleb Williams is going number one overall. I am going to disagree with you. I think that Caleb Williams is a little bit overrated. That's me. I'll take that hit. If I'm wrong, and he turns out to be the next Patrick Mahomes, or he turns
that's
out to
such
be
an unfair comparison. That is such an unfair comparison.
You just said he's the next Patrick Mahomes.
No, I didn't.
You did.
I said people comparing him to Patrick Mahomes is unfair.
Oh.
That's what I said, because that is going to be top two greatest quarterback of all time. And you're putting that kind of pressure on a 21-year-old kid? No. But you know what Caleb Williams is going to be? He's going to be a top 7 quarterback in the league once he starts hitting his stride for 12 years.
I just don't think Caleb Williams is. I think the hype is going to get to him. At the same time, though, I do love how the Bears have set him up for success. They have Keenan Allen, who is getting a little bit older. He's on that veteran experience. He's going to set Caleb Williams up for success. He's that very safe slot receiver that he will just always be there for him.
DAW GGG. He was a top 5 wide receiver the first half of last season. Keenan.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a very, like I said, the Bears are setting him up for success. And they still have DJ Moore. So, setting him up for success. I do think he'll be a very good NFL quarterback. I am a little bit, I just think the hype is a little too high for how good he'll actually be. Now, I'm not saying he's not going to be great, but I do think the 2-3 Washington Commanders, Patriots, that's a 50-50 right now. I think it really depends on, we'll see later when it gets closer to the draft where either of those guys go, but I do think the top 3 are going to be quarterbacks. I just don't see a way that the Patriots don't draft quarterback with how horrendous Bailey Zappe and Mac Jones were this past season.
Jacoby Brissett is on their team.
I don't care. I still think they're going quarterback. I think they only did that just for the sake of saying that Bailey Zappe is not an NFL-ready quarterback, or he won't ever be. And they just wanted to solidify a guy who's been in their system before, been in the franchise.
I don't disagree with that, but it, like, and I think they take quarterback here, like I said before. But I also think it leaves the door open for them to really take a look at Marvin Harrison Jr.
I think they consider it, just because they missed Alan Ridley. But I just don't see a way that, like, if I'm a Patriots fan, I want a quarterback here. And I understand Marvin Harrison Jr. might be freaking, oh my gosh, he is one hell of a player. Marvin Harrison Jr. might be one of the best wide receivers to come out of the draft in the last 5 years.
When it's all said and done, he's going to end the season as a top 10 wide receiver in the league.
Yes.
Top 7.
Yes. He's that
top
good.
Top 5?
No.
Top 6.
Let me hear your top 5 right now, John.
Top 5 wide receivers right now. Tyreek Hill is number 1.
Number 1 easily in the league.
No doubt in my mind. Number 2, I'm probably going to forget someone here just because I have a terrible memory. It's okay.
I hate to say it, but CeeDee Lamb.
Is it CeeDee? CeeDee's 2. Oh, 3. Amon-Ra's up there. I'm just trying to think of wide receivers right now.
I mean, A.J. Brown has to be in the top 5.
A.J. Brown is probably top 5 when he gets targets. And say he's on the field. Amon-Ra's top 5 easily.
Who are we forgetting?
We're missing some.
Okay, Jefferson. Jefferson.
Top
5 player.
Jamar and Jefferson. Okay, okay. That's exactly what I was forgetting. Let me rephrase all this.
Sorry,
okay,
go ahead.
Okay.
Go
number
ahead.
1 is Tyreek Hill.
Yes, I agree.
Number 2.
Justin Jefferson.
Number 3.
CeeDee Lamb.
Jamar Chase.
Nope. CeeDee Lamb.
You asked me for my top 5.
Give me CeeDee Lamb.
You asked me for my top 5.
I'm just comparing. I'm taking CeeDee Lamb at 3. You could take Jamar Chase at 3. I'm taking CeeDee Lamb, then A.J. Brown, then Jamar Chase.
I'm taking Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, CeeDee, Amon-Ra.
Wow, over A.J. Brown.
A.J., Marvin Harrison Jr., man, he's going to slide up there. Dude, it could. All I'm saying is, I could. He is that kind of talent.
I think it's a situational thing, though. Let's say Marvin Harrison Jr. goes to the Patriots.
But let's say he goes to Arizona.
That's what I'm saying. Well, okay, so here's what I'm thinking. Let's say Marvin Harrison Jr. does go to the Patriots. I do think that he's going to be capped for a little bit of his career. Just because they didn't take quarterback. And he's got a Jacoby Brissett thrown to him. But if he goes to the freaking Arizona Cardinals, he will be...
Which is more likely or not going to happen.
Am I hyping it up too much to where he could be, like, the D-hop for the Cardinals? Is that an insane...
No, he's better than D-hop.
Wow.
He will be better than prime D-hop. It's not... you want to talk about me?
He's so good.
He's so good. He's 6'3". He's fast. His routes
he's
are insane.
Big? Dude, yeah. Sorry.
He's so good. Like, here's the thing. No one knows who Malik Nabers is, and Malik Nabers is the next LSU. They should rename Louisiana State University
Wide Receiver
University.
Yeah.
He's the next one coming out. Odell, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, Malik Nabers. That's the next name on that list. And the fact
Nabers is going early in last year's draft. He's much better than Addison and much better than any of those guys.
He's number 1 in last year's draft.
Yeah.
He's number 1 in 2 years draft.
It sucks
ago.
That he's in the same draft as Marvin.
That's
Harris
why no one's talking about him. Yeah. He's going to wow people because also he might be in a better position team-wise. Let's say he goes to the Chargers.
Yeah.
He's going to be in a better position than Harrison will be if he goes to the Patriots.
That's what I'm saying. So, okay. So I'm going to say Jane Daniels, Drake May, go 2-3, right? I think
the Cardinals consider trading down?
I think they would. So I'm going to say, but I could see them not just because of the deals that they made this offseason make me think that they're going to sign a water or they're going to.
Do you think they think that they can be a 10-win team?
It just depends. Like, it honestly really depends on how good Kyler is going.
I don't think they have the defense.
I don't think so either. But the thing is, with them losing Marquise Brown, with them trading away Rondale Moore, I just think they're setting it up for a wide receiver.
Trading down, though, is never the wrong option.
Why would they trade down and lose out in a franchise wide receiver?
Because there's, like, 7 of them in this draft. That's the thing. Let's say...
So are you saying the Vikings trade up before?
If the Vikings say to you, hey, we'll give you both of our first-round picks this year, our second pick this year, and a first next year... Because look what the Bears got back.
But why would they trade up when the Chargers are after them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's say Cardinals are 4. Cardinals aren't taking quarterback.
Chargers at 5 are not taking quarterback. Then you have the Giants. Giants are 50-50. I really think the Giants could take Rome at 6. It would not surprise me to take Rome at 6.
They could, and I'd be in shambles. I don't think Rome's going to be that good.
I think he's going to be okay. I do think that the arm of Penix Jr. helped him out a little bit.
All I'm saying is that this. The Vikings wouldn't make that trade if they weren't going to trade up. And I think they're looking at the top three, and they were like, okay, all three of those guys are taking quarterbacks. And I think Caleb Williams is in the league by himself. Second tier, even though I don't agree with it, this is what everyone views it as, is Drake May and Jaden Daniels. Tier three, McCarthy. Tier five, but then there's no one else in that McCarthy tier. Because then there's Bo Nix and Penix. And Penix's ceiling is Tua.
Yes, I agree.
His ceiling is Tua.
Comparison, yes.
So,
I think Bo Nix is...
Bo Nix is going to be terrible. So the Vikings then have to... They can't take that risk. They can't take the 50-50 coin flip of the Giants taking McCarthy or not. And I don't remember a time that trading back wasn't a good thing. And I think the return for the Cardinals could be a 2 firsts this year, moving down to 11 and 23, a second this year, and a first next year. And I think that's disgusting.
I just don't think, like why? So if I'm the Vikings, right? If I'm the Vikings, why trade up the 4 for that lower tier quarterback? When I just signed Sam Darnold. I just signed Sam Darnold.
Give me a break.
Is J.J. McCarthy going to be better than Sam Darnold right out the gate?
Yes. Oh my gosh, 100%.
I just don't like... I just 100%. J.J. McCarthy hype, man. It's just another like...
Step. Is it hype? I feel like people have crapped on him.
He's a little better than, like, it's like the Stetson Bennett thing. Stetson Bennett's a winner in college. Doesn't mean he's a good NFL quarterback.
Stetson Bennett doesn't have the size makeup as J.J. McCarthy does, though. Stetson Bennett also didn't run a pro-style offense at Georgia.
You know what's wild is, what if the Chargers just take J.J. McCarthy at 5?
No, that's never going to happen. Stop talking. You're losing credibility on the podcast. Right. That's never going to happen. What if they take Brock Bowers, though? That would be a head-scratcher, in my opinion.
Anyway, I'm thinking if, let's just say no trades.
You're telling me, though, that the Cardinals wouldn't
let's
take three
Let's say no
first.
Trades.
I know, but just hear me out. You get a call. You're the Cardinals GM. 3 firsts, 2 this year, and a second. You're not taking that for your pick?
You just told me how freaking good Marvin Harrison Jr.
But
is.
But the Cardinals?
You have a
the
guy
Cardinals,
sitting
the,
in front of you.
The Cardinals could be in the same exact position the Bears are in this year.
I just don't. I mean, they traded back last year. I could see it happening. I'm not saying it's not out of the blue. I could see it happening. But it's just like, it fills such a big need for the Cardinals.
Oh, absolutely. But the other thing is, too, the Cardinals have to realize they're not in win now mode. They aren't.
No, but they're getting a guy. And you're saying, you said the same thing for the Bengals, right? They need to build up their trenches. They have their guy in Kyler, and they get their wide receiver.
Where's their defense?
We were saying the same thing about the Bengals, and they were making low-key signings. So,
I don't think the Cardinals and the Bengals are at the same position.
All right, we're getting distracted here. I'm saying no trades. I could see the Cardinals shooting down. I'm saying the Cardinals get Marvin Harrison Jr. for it. I think Keenan Allen leaving is an automatic lock for Malik Neighbors going to the Los Angeles Chargers. There is no way that Justin Herbert has Quentin Johnston as their wide receiver one next year. There's just no shot.
Brock Bowers.
I don't see Brock Bowers going up to 5. They have... They like the freaking Parham Jr. guy. I mean, they let go of Gerald Everett. It's a possibility. Didn't they sign? They signed him. Tight end, I thought.
Rome Azune.
No, I don't think they take Rome. There's tier one, Marvin Harrison Jr., tier 1.5, Malik Neighbors.
Oh, I don't disagree.
Then there's a whole different tier.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So, I think Neighbors is a lock for 5. You're saying J.J. McCarthy to the Giants. I think the Giants are going to stick with what they got, and they're going to take Rome. I don't think it's...
I could see it happening. Again, I would be crying.
And then I think J.J. McCarthy just falls to the Vikings at 7.
The Vikings are not at 7.
Yeah, they are.
The Tennessee Titans are at 7.
I think the Vikings are at 7.
You're looking at a mock draft for trades.
Wait, yes, the Titans are at 7.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. If the Titans... Yeah, they're going to take an O-line. Yeah, the Vikings are at 11, right? They're at 11?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's actually a great point. I could see the Vikings straight up 7. That is a possibility, taking J.J. McCarthy.
It depends what the Giants do.
It really does.
And again, I don't see the Vikings taking that risk. They made that trade with the Texans because they have someone in mind. Or they're good enough with those four quarterbacks.
You don't think they're sitting in their office and they're like, hey, we're okay with Sam Darnold for you?
No, Sam Darnold's terrible. He's atrocious.
He's not great. But when you have Justin Jefferson, it makes guys like Nick Mullins look like they're freaking
Chucky. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. The Vikings got worse this offseason, and they need to keep Justin Jefferson happy or he's walking out that door. You don't make that trade with the Texans if you're not trading up into the top 5, in my opinion. You're just not.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough, man.
You need ammo.
We're gonna see a lot of trades in the first round, I think. But I do think that who's it? 8? Falcons are at 8.
Yeah.
I think Falcons are taking. They're probably taking some defensive back. Just because
Dallas Turner from Alabama, edge.
I could see that, but I also I know that Okuda left, so it's like they have a hole.
But I don't think the value lines up there.
They have their guy, AJ Terrell.
Kenyon Mitchell, but I mean, Nate Wiggins from Clemson. There's not like those guys that are like you know
last year
Arnold from Alabama. Eh.
Yeah.
You don't reach for a need at 8. You pick the best player available.
Yeah, I know Turner's the best. Oh man, if Dallas Turner falls to the freaking Bears, they're gonna.
No, I think if Roma Zune falls to the Bears, they're disgusting. Keenan, Rome, DJ.
Why? It's just no need though.
You put Keenan at the slot, you put DJ Moore at the 2.
There's no need.
Dude, that was a great wide receiving room.
Yeah, but there's
Caleb Williams, DeAndre Swift, their defense is good.
There's no need.
They're competing.
There's no need. Go. They need defensive help.
They can take an offensive one.
I wouldn't hate that either. It's really boring pick, but I wouldn't hate it.
Jets have to take an offensive one.
But they won't.
I said that.
They'll
take a corner.
They'll take
that Robert Saleh loves.
Stupid.
Yeah,
it's freaking dumb. Jets are a poverty franchise, man. Sorry. You know where? I know we're out of top 10. You know where I do think Brock Bowers is gonna go? He's going to the Denver Broncos at 12.
Let me throw my.
Or if the Titans trade back to 11 with the Minnesota Vikings, they are taking Brock Bowers at 11 because they're stupid.
Let me throw something out there. Does Sean Payton want his quarterback prospect, Michael Penix, at 12?
I don't think Penix is a first round product.
Oh, I don't think so either. But
They wait on him. Because the people that need quarterbacks are in the earlier part of the draft.
So we are way over the time that I said. Thank you for staying long and listening to the best hour and a half podcast you've ever heard in your life. To recap, there's quarterbacks going in the top 3.
Yep.
The Vikings don't make the trade that they did with the Texans. To not move into the top 5. They have the ammo now to move into the top 5 if they want. That's what I'll say.
Yes.
And I don't think they make the trade if they don't have someone in their sights. And I don't think that they leave it 50-50 with the Giants taking quarterback or not.
I don't think so either.
So I think the trade's coming at the Cardinals or the Chargers. And I think...
Why would the Chargers drop back, though?
Oh, I would love that, actually.
Really?
I was just talking... I just thought about it in my head. You're telling me... You're basically resetting with a franchise quarterback. You were in cap hell. But now you're going to have the opportunity at 11 to not get the best wide receiver. I don't even know if there's a wide receiver in there. 23, there was a wide receiver in there. Keon Coleman, Xavier Worthy, Adonai Mitchell, someone in there.
Someone.
You could go and take a nice tackle.
Are you saying Bowers defensive to the Chargers? Is that what you're about
Bowers,
to say?
Right there. You can get Brock Bowers and Keon Coleman. You can take Brock Bowers or Adonai Mitchell. All of a sudden, the Chargers don't look at that, and they have two first-round picks next year.
But here's the thing.
So Marvin Harrison, too good to pass up on the Cardinals. Minnesota trades up, takes McCarthy.
When
Malik Nabers falls to the Giants.
When have the Chargers... I know they have new... They have new staff. Chargers have never used their tight end. Never.
Jim Harbaugh does.
Ish? But like...
Ish?
Does he really want to Brock Bowers? Like, why? Why? If I'm the Chargers, I just If I'm the Chargers, I just lost my guy. I just lost Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen has been there for years. Years. They took a risk.
San Diego, even.
Yes. They took a risk on a guy in Quentin Johnston last year. I think he was in the top five of most drop passes last year. Probably. He is not a good football player. I'm sorry.
I could have told you that last year.
Yeah, well, anyone coming out of TCU sucks. Why, if I am the Los Angeles Chargers, I lost my number one, Mike Williams. Why am I not taking Malik Nabers here?
Mike Williams isn't as big as a loss as people think. He had a good second half of 2022.
I'd agree with you. And for cap reasons, I think it was a good idea for them to cut them. Well, if I'm the Chargers, why am I not taking Nabers at five?
Well, why aren't you trading back down and getting... Look, listen, it's one and a half. Romizune's at two. All the good teams have that tight end. Kansas City has Kelce. Niners have Kittle. Eagles have Goddard. Right? Laporta on the Lions.
Oh, he's so good.
Pitts on Atlanta this year, even. Brock Bowers is unreal. Brock Bowers is better than Kyle Pitts was in college. Brock Bowers is going to be a monster on whatever team he is. He's a matchup nightmare. You can use that. You can treat him like a wide receiver. All the good teams have a tight end. You can get him at 12, and yeah, you're not going to get Romizune or Malik Nabers at 5, but you'll get a guy like Adonai Mitchell. Is really good. Xavier Worthy, who
I love,
sky high ceiling is Tyreek Hill.
I love
base is like
the wide Zay Flowers in this draft.
Yeah,
is really
like I would say that Xavier Worthy, like pro comparison, might be Zay Flowers. His super high ceiling is Tyreek Hill, and his floor is John Ross. But, like, you could take Xavier Worthy right there. You can take Adonai Mitchell, who's a matchup nightmare. You can take Keon Coleman, who's coming off of an injury. But there's good wide receivers, impact wide receivers, late in that draft. Into the second round. And you're going to have 2 second-round picks now, too. And two first rounds next year. Yeah. So I think our consensus, top 10 in the draft before we end this. Caleb Williams, number one. Number two, Jaden Daniels / Drake May. Number three, the other one that Washington doesn't pick, and knowing that the Washington Commanders, they will screw that pick up.
Yes.
Number four is Marvin Harrison Jr. Number five, Minnesota Vikings make a trade. They jump up to the Chargers spot. They take J.J. McCarthy at 5. Number 6 is Malik Nabers going to the New York Giants. The next Odell Beckham. It's a possibility. The Giants are getting McCarthy or Nabers. 7. I know who you know. I know who you want us to draft. Number 7, Joe Alt. Tennessee Titans get their left tackle of the future. Atlanta Falcons take Dallas Turner. Chicago Bears take Romizune. Number 10, New York Jets. Take, I don't know who. I don't really love the Penn State offensive tackle, I'm not going to lie. I like J.C. Latham better, honestly, in Alabama. One of those guys.
Fuanga.
Someone.
There's.
Or they'll take Kool-Aid McKinney.
No, Kool-Aid McKinney's going to leave, man.
Anyway.
He's a dog, though.
That's our mock draft. That's our podcast episode.
The boys are back.
Are we?
Yeah. Well, we're back.
Oh, we're back.
We're going to do, hopefully, a 20-minute... Well, I said this one was 45 minutes. It'll end up being 45 minutes at some point before March Madness starts. We'll make our bracket.
We'll make a bracket together. Yeah. I'm saying it now. Vermont's beating Duke.
This is Ben's shambles.
Ben's shambles.
All right.
Sorry.
With that being said...
We're going to go.
We're logging off here. Thanks for listening to our rants. I hope you got some entertainment.
Hopefully. See you guys middle of next week.